Praise God. Well, let's turn to look at Philippians 3:1 to begin with this evening. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 3:1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things for you, to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And then he says, "For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." In the ESV, it says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And then he says, "To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." So we're going to focus on that first part, but I want to make some points as we're here because of the way this says this. The beginning says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." We're going to talk about that, rejoicing in the Lord. Notice the next part he says. Now, this applies to this sentence, obviously, or this part. He's talking here, considering rejoicing, but he's been talking about other things. The Apostle Paul went about, he taught people same truths, the same people, and over and over. And even so, that applies to that, all the truths that he's teaching. Let's read it and we'll comment about that a little bit more. So, verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you." In the NLT, it says, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." We're going to come back to the beginning of that, but I want to just notice that last part. You know, he said in the, you can keep this one up, but in the New King James, it said, "It's not tedious for you, it's safe." In ESV, to write the same things for you is no trouble, and to me, but it's safe for you. Here he says, "I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." So that applies to all the truths he's been talking about in Philippians, but it definitely applies to this too, the rejoice in the Lord. You know, in Philippians, the words rejoice, rejoiced, rejoicing, joy appear a total of 16 times. He's been talking about this throughout the book. He's been saying it multiple times about rejoicing. But so it applies. When we think, see, sometimes we think, well, I've heard something. Oh, I don't need that. I've heard that. Well, Paul said, this is no problem for me to repeat the same thing. And for you, it's a safeguard to your faith. Do you know we need to hear things over and over? We need to hear the Word of God. And we never arrive completely, you know, in... Well, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. We always have room that we can come up in God. And so, if there's any time we have complained or not rejoiced when we could have in the last year, we can come up. Now, I went way back there, but we could maybe go back since this morning. You know, maybe this week, and we would, if there's ever a time we were like, nah, you know, I didn't say the thing I should have, then we can come up. But the Bible is so rich, and so we enjoy hearing the Word of God, because it's not just man's word, it's the Spirit of God quickening it to us, and there He is always speaking to us. When we hear the Word like we're doing tonight, and under the anointing is just say how the Holy Spirit, see, anointing is a word that means like to pour over, so like the oil, when they used to anoint kings and pour it over, the oil just ran down. That's when we talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, how He works on individuals. And so when we're teaching tonight, there's an anointing. The Spirit of God is working, and He is speaking to us spirit to spirit. He's coming, and He's teaching us. He's bringing us up. He knows each of us infinitely better than even we know ourselves. He knows everything, so He knows how to communicate with us, and only He can do that. Only He can minister to each individual, but He does that through the anointing of God. So let's look at this. Look at it in the NLT, Philippians 3:1. It says, whatever happens. So the other ones say, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Here it says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. In Philippians 4:4, so just, you know, a little bit farther, I'd say the next chapter. It is the next chapter. But, you know, you understand, maybe we don't understand, that's what I'm going to say, is that the Bible's not written in chapter and verse. Mm-hmm. Translators added those so that we could reference, so that I could say, let's go to Philippians 3:1. You know, imagine just having the whole letter. We're going to go to that place somewhere. And you know, the paragraphs and everything, none of the punctuation, none of that is in the original language. They had to add that and so there's, you see different, that's not, the periods, the spaces, the paragraphs are not gospel. That's a translation. The when you see a paragraph, you say, well, that's the next paragraph, he switched subjects. That's the best that the translators could do to convey that. But that's not, that you can't say, well, that's just different. No, it's all, it was written in just a letter originally. And so here, Philippians 4:4 is just a little bit farther in the letter. You know, it's not necessarily so many verses because the verses didn't exist. Where verses stop and start, that's just for our reference. So then I can tell us now, let's go to Philippians 4:4. Go ahead. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You saw in the Philippians 3:1 in the NLT, whatever happens. Well, that bears, that's going to bear up under different verses we read. Rejoice in the Lord all the time. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. So regardless of what we are dealing with, and we're going to talk about this, read verses, just read a number of verses, because this is all throughout the Bible. Regardless of where we are, what we're dealing with, God still tells us to rejoice. That's to be full of joy, to lift up, to exalt, to praise, to be joyful. That is so much better to be in that state than not in that state, regardless of where we are. Always, always. There's never a time where it's the worst possible situations. We're going to look at some of them. It's always so much better to be on that side than not on that side. To be negative, it never helps. Now, differentiate being negative from being realistic. But some people think realistic and they're completely negative. That's not the same thing. You could say, this is the situation, these are the facts, and I'm going to rejoice anyway, and I'm going to praise God anyway, but I'm going to be full of joy. I'm going to look at it according to the Word. We're not talking about just making something up. You know, positive thinking in itself, that's better than negative thinking, but you know, you can have positive thinking that is just like, well, I'm just going to think this is going to turn out well. That doesn't mean it's going to turn out well. That's better thinking that way. If it's based on the Word of God and what He said, now you have His Word to say, this will turn out such and such, and it will turn out well. So there's a different thing there. But no matter what, Shelley and I were just referring to the other day, just talking about it, like, it's so much better to be positive than negative. It is so much better just to, you look at something, you can be like, there's this, or thank God for this and this and this. It just changes everything every time in every situation. And you know it as well as I do. You, me, we don't like it when somebody else is negative generally. Now, sometimes we have a filter when we're doing it and act like that doesn't matter and that they don't think the same way that we would think if they were doing it. But it never helps. It brings the atmosphere down. And not only that, it just brings us down. It's not faith. This is a side note. I'm going to say this, but whatever the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And the Bible tells us clearly not to grumble and not to complain. So we're not going to dwell on that, but that's a thing. You say, well, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. It's not faith. It's not. Now, don't get legalistic. Oh, I'm so bad. No, we can just change and say, you know what? I'm going to start rejoicing, and I'm just going to act like the Bible's true, and I'm going to believe God, regardless of what's going on. Whatever happens, rejoice. Everybody say, whatever happens. You say, whatever is happening. It just plays the same, every situation. So if we switch, it doesn't matter if we were 90% there. If we keep, just wait. No, because you start tracking in the wrong way, it's so easy just to keep going that way. You know what I'm saying? You can be resisting and be like, no, I'm staying positive. But you just start going the wrong direction. It's like a dam breaking. You know, just like a leak, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you could be picking yourself off the ground, and you didn't mean to do that at all. We have to be safeguarded with what we say. We have to be safeguarded with this, and you know one way to guard that? Rejoice. Just regardless, it's just go into the mode that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, again, not saying we're just blind to what's going on, but we see what's going on, but we know there's somebody greater. There's a greater power, and he didn't leave us. God is in the situation all the time. And we're going to look at some situations that I dare say none of us in here have dealt with some of this. But it's all in context. It's saying rejoice in the middle of it. Always. Always. Here, we just read, we don't have to put them up again. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Notice Jesus in John 15:10 said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, sidebar, these are commandments we're reading about rejoicing. Yeah. If we keep in his commandments, we're going to abide in his love, but we're going to abide in him. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He said, my joy, that I've spoken these things that my joy may remain in you. If it's remaining in us, then it's always there. His joy is always there. His joy is always there. It's just whether we're going to yield to it, whether we're going to say what is aligned with the word of God or not. Psalm 40, verse 16, it says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I'm going to read again. Let all those who seek you rejoice. All right, do you seek the Lord? Yes. Well, here's a command for us. Rejoice and be glad in you. Be glad in the Lord. And it says, let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You know, it's hard to be saying the Lord be magnified, the Lord be magnified, and then on the other, in between those, the Lord, you're supposed to say it continually, the Lord be magnified, the Lord, and then on the other side in between going, you're saying something negative. Well, sure, it's a bad day. The Lord be magnified. I wish it weren't raining. The Lord be magnified. One's going to win out. You're just going to give up and go, well, just complain or just forget it. You know what? This might happen, but the Lord be magnified anyway, and I'm just going to stay there. So much better, because you can't do anything about it raining anyway. If it were, or whatever. There's things, here's the thing, if we can do something about it, then let's do what the Bible says we can do about it. If you can't do anything about it, what's the point of complaining about it? Yeah. Yeah. That's not going to help. It's going to put our focus on the wrong thing. Again, We started out saying, Paul said, I'll say these things to you over and over and over, and I don't get tired. And for you, it's a safeguard. You know these things are safeguards for us? You know, sometimes we need to just be like, wait a minute, I started going off those rails. I'm coming right back in here because this is safe. This will keep me on. This will keep me right in the middle so I can just keep chugging. Because the command, all these are commands of the Lord. Sometimes we're like, well, that's optional. Number one, it's not optional according to the Word of God. Number two, if you want to have a good day, it's not optional. And here's the thing. You only get one day like today. This day is never a practice for anything. You get one of them. And then there's the next day. And eventually, we're not going to be on the earth. Doesn't matter who we are. Eventually, Jesus is going to come back and we're going to be out of here. But, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back soon enough, every person in this room, including the kids, are going to be gone from the earth. 200 years from now, if Jesus still hasn't come back, there is not one person that's sitting here right now that'll still be here. Okay, unless there's some crazy AI, you know, some sci-fi thing and they freeze your brain and whatever. But I'm talking about the way we know it right now. Generally speaking, isn't that weird that that's like, we're right on the cusp of that? It's like, well, you don't know it. Well, you know what? The way technology going, I don't think that's going to happen before everything blows up. That's just Jim speaking. I don't think we're going to get there. They could get there, but I think there's too much that's going to come crashing down. I don't think we're really going to get there. It could. And you know what? It is going to be what it is. So we don't want to focus on those type of things either. In other words, the point is we got one day. And we got so many of them. Why ruin it and go off and not do what the Bible said and just be in misery for no reason about stuff that is not helping? That never helped anybody. Like, it literally doesn't help, but it does hurt the situation. But it doesn't do anything to help it. When we get done saying something that's against God's word, we're still there, and we're probably now you gotta encourage yourself because you said stuff that you didn't need to say. What if we just said continually, the Lord be magnified, and pray and just rejoicing and being thankful in the middle of stuff, regardless of what's going on? That will go so far for us staying in faith, staying focused, because if we're always talking about the Lord and Him being magnified and how good He is, it's going to be hard for us to get off and get down. When we do the opposite, it gives Satan access into our lives. It gets you to start looking at the wrong thing, and you'll say, what? Well, there's this and this. Well, I didn't notice that. Yeah, you think that's not? Look at this. And pretty soon you're doing this rather than the Lord. And again, it's not like you're ignoring reality, but if it's reality, we got to facts. Facts are subject to change. We got to look at what God said about them so we can focus on that. But looking at it as if there's no God is not going to help us. And then you could get depressed. You're like, well, I see this, and I see this, and yeah, it's the same now. And I just, whoa, I can't see it. But if we'll say, you know what? I see that, but I also see the Lord, and I'm going to magnify Him, and I'm going to look at what the Bible says, and I'm going to say that, and I'm just going to rejoice always anyway. Well, that's a different thing. I am in a different place. I am looking to God to do something with the facts. That's a different thing. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And now in context, I mean, that's talking about a certain time period, day. Likely that's what it is. But it doesn't do, in everything we've said in all these scriptures, it doesn't do any injustice to say, this is the day the Lord has made. In other words, we're living in a day. God made creation, and we will rejoice and be glad today. And that'll just help us to be like, well, it's a day. So guess what? I'm rejoicing. That's what I'm doing. In other words, if I'm alive and breathing, I know what I'm going to do. There isn't a question. Well, should I do that today? Now, I may not feel like doing it. That's a different thing. But if I'll just do it anyway, it's amazing how it brings us forward. So it doesn't matter what's going on. Whatever happens, what I'm supposed to do is still the same. I'm still supposed to rejoice. Look at Habakkuk 3:17. Habakkuk 3:17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be out or be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, just because you don't have fruit on the vine and a fig tree and fields and a flock and a herd, don't let this be separated from what he's actually saying. He's saying, go back to verse 7, the fig may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine. So there's no crop, though the labor of olive oil may fail, crop failure, and the fields yield no food. Same thing. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stalls. In other words, that livelihood is not there. Things are not good. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, this is not light stuff. Yeah. This is not light. You say, well, that's somebody else's problem. If this were us, this is not light. These are reasons. If you're going to look for something to complain about, this is good enough reason. You get up, you know, everything is going wrong, failing. Financially, this is a train wreck. This is very, very bad. Yet, still says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Does that sound like the Lord be magnified? You're not thanking God for doing this to you. He's not the author of this. You're saying, in spite of this, God's bigger than this. I'm still going to come through it. If I go into it and I'm like, look at that. Wow, look at the vines. Look at the field. Look at the flock. Look at the herd. Get depressed real easy. Like, what am I doing? But that's not what the Bible says. It says, in spite of that, whatever happens. 2 Corinthians 6:10, we're not going to read this whole passage. Apostle Paul's listing all these things they're going through. And he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. The beginning says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing anyway, even though they're dealing with all these things. He lists them out, all these trials that they're dealing with. But he's saying, I'm rejoicing anyway. I'm just going to rejoice. I'm going to thank God. James 1, verse 2, James 1, 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Not saying God's testing your faith. It says your faith is being tested. You ever had your patience being tested with somebody? It means your faith is being pushed, but that doesn't mean God is doing this to you to do that. It means that's what's happening. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So even when things are happening, you're saying, I'm going to count it all joy anyway. Even when there's trials, and you're saying, no, I'm going to count it joy. Doesn't say that you're happy about it. You're saying you're counting it joy. You're counting it joy. In other words, in the face of it, you're going to go, you know, you could go back to the one we read in Habakkuk. Well, the fields are barren. I'm going to be joyful anyway. Because that's what he said. Yeah. I'm going to count it joy. There's nothing on the vine. Well, I'm going to count that joy. In other words, in the face of that, I'm just going to be like, joy anyway. I'm going to rejoice. I'm just going to rejoice. I'm going to magnify the Lord anyway. Well, you can't be stopped if it's like that. You're not going to be pushed off. That is faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Here's a little bit of a little longer passage. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, If need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now stop right there. Go back to verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, in other words, this is happening, you have been grieved by various trials. Notice it says a little while. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith. Now, it's talking about how you can tell, one way you can tell if your faith is genuine, right here. So stuff isn't going right. There's various trials. But this says, verse 7, you've been grieved with these trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Notice what he's saying here. The genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold. Doing the things we're talking about, having faith before God, rejoicing in everything, in whatever comes, is more precious than money, all the money you can have. You, me, us having faith before God and in the midst, you know how this is being shown up? Because there's pressure, because there's something going on. Anybody, when everything's going well, can be like, yeah, it's a great day. That takes no faith whatsoever to do that. None. You know, you go back to Habakkuk, you know, the vines are buried, I got all the flocks good, sheepfold's good, everything's good, everything's going really well, and I'm just going to praise God. Sure, praise God, because you're supposed to praise God continually, but that's not pushing your faith. This is when your faith gets pushed. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So even if your faith gets pushed like gold is refined in fire, your faith is more precious than gold. And what tests your faith when stuff isn't going the way you'd want it to go? And that's not saying God is doing that. You're in a fallen world. God wants us to succeed and to have victory and everything. He's not the one bringing the trials, but in the midst of the trial, our reaction will show up the genuineness of our faith. Just like fire will remove the impurities or bring the impurities out of gold, when we're pushed, the fire of the trials is going to reveal how pure our faith really is. And if when stuff isn't going right, we're like, oh, it was great today, and then stuff goes bad, and we're like, ah, rah, rah. We just showed up that our faith is shallow. It's not genuine. In other words, you start refining with fire, it goes up, smoke. And then when stuff comes back and it's doing well, you're like, oh, praise God again. That's not the way to make it through. That is not faith. And we're not saying have faith to work it up. No, it's just showing where we are. It's so much better if we'll just believe God right through it. How are you going to know? You're going to praise God. You're going to do what the Bible says. You're going to rejoice always. You're going to see something. It's like, well, whatever happens, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. Continue. I'm going to magnify the Lord right now. In other words, if we have something that comes against us, like James said, we count it all joy. In other words, something comes up. It's like, well, this is an opportunity. Man, I just heard about this. Here we go. Well, that's not something that you really want an opportunity to do. It's like, ooh, we get to do this, but it is an opportunity to say, you know what? I do believe God. You know what? I am going to trust Him. You know what? I'm going to exalt Him now when it doesn't look like I should be doing it. You know what? Because I believe Him. And I believe He is good. And I believe His word. Acts 5:40. Look at these things. And they agreed with him. And when, okay, so this is background. The apostles have been put in prison. were arrested. And so then they're determining what to do with him. And one of the people stands up and goes, well, I've seen this stuff before. And if this is really of God, you know, you're not going to stop it anyway. But if it's not, it's going to fade. So I wouldn't make a big deal about it, or you're going to mess up. So verse 40 says, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, so they were arrested. This is the early church. They were arrested for believing on Jesus. And so when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Told them, don't you speak in that name anymore. And they let them go. Verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How many of you all have been put in prison because you believe in Jesus? Anybody? They got put in prison, and then they got beaten and let go, and they left rejoicing. They just got beat up for Jesus. And they left, and they are praising God. They're doing what we're talking about. And they're not doing it at a super, like, low level. They're doing it. They just got beat up because they believe in Jesus. And they're rejoicing because they were counted worthy. They were like, I don't care. I believe in Jesus, and I'll take the beating because of what he did for me. I am going to spread the gospel. So they're rejoicing after that. Got thrown in prison for what? For sharing Jesus. And they threatened them and said, don't you ever say that again. Don't you preach in Jesus' name, which they did not listen to that. Look at Matthew 5:11. Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So he said, when they revile you and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. That's because you're doing what God told you to do. What he said, you're doing it not because you were stupid and saying a bunch of stuff and they're coming against you, but because you're saying things for the Lord's sake. Verse 12, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, that is not the first reaction most people are going to have. You want another reaction. You don't want to rejoice. But verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Does that sound like count it all joy? Something happened, you're like, well, I am going to rejoice and be exceedingly glad because those people are persecuting me, reviling, persecuting, say all kinds of evil against you falsely, and your biblical reaction is rejoice and be exceedingly glad in that situation. Well, so we're covering situations where, how about anything that we would go through? You think, what's the right answer? Is it still rejoice, or does it change in that? Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 12. A little longer. First Peter 4, verse 12, it says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. So he said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Verse 12, go back to verse 12. As though something strange is happening to you. He said, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. So even Peter's saying, now even in if you're persecuted, again, you're Jesus saying it, you're Paul saying it, here Peter saying it. You see, the early church was dealing with it. It says, verse 13, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Sounds like the other verse. In other words, there's nothing that we deal with that we should be like, well, that's it. I'm not rejoicing over that. This is heavy-duty stuff. And the command is not, well, I understand. I mean, yeah, go ahead and complain because it's a complaining day. It's rejoice, be exceedingly glad. Does that sound like let the Lord be magnified continually? In other words, right through this, the answer's the same. Doesn't matter what we go through. Doesn't matter what we're dealing with, because regardless of what we're dealing with, God's still on the throne and God's word's true. And so we do what his word says, trusting him. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. We rejoice because we believe God. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Talking about being with God, that the hope, the expectation of the glory of God, but we're rejoicing because of hope. We're rejoicing because we expect something. We're rejoicing because God's on the throne, and he has our back, and his word's true, and so we're going to rejoice regardless. Romans 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope means expectation. We're expecting something. So we're not just rejoicing to rejoice just to say, well, I mean, it's better to be positive than it is to be negative. But we're rejoicing. The reason is because we believe something and we expect something. And we expect that God can change whatever we're dealing with. And in the case of when people are dealing with something that we're not redeemed from being persecuted, we're not redeemed from being persecuted. It clearly tells us. The Bible says that the godly will suffer. All that live godly will suffer persecution. Even in that case, it said you rejoice anyway because your reward's going to be great. Well, if you believe that, you're going to rejoice. You're going to, because we believe something, then we're going to rejoice. Psalm 13:5 says, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I've trusted in you, and my heart will rejoice in your salvation. We rejoice in his salvation. Whatever the situation is for our situation, whatever his word is for our situation, we're rejoicing in his salvation, that he has provided a way out. And so we're not going to stay looking at what is, because we hope, because we expect, because we trust, because we believe, we're going to rejoice in his salvation. Because he has done something, we're going to rejoice. Look at Isaiah 61:10. All these are talking about things because I believe something. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has. So this is another thing. We can be rejoicing because of what he has, what he's promised and what he says he's going to do in our expectation, but we can also rejoice because of all the stuff he has done. You just focus on whatever we need to focus on to say, yeah, but there's this. Yeah, but this. Because God, because Satan will try to get you to where you're focusing on the thing that needs to be fixed. And we can say, not only, okay, I'm believing God that that's going to change, but you know what? There's this, and there's this that's good, and God has done this in my life, and he's done this, and he did this, and he's done this, and he did this, and I have this, and this is working, and this is okay, and this is okay, and you're rejoicing because of all the things he has done all the things he has been faithful in. And that'll hold us. It says, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, he has done these things. Same thing in Joel 2:23. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Rejoice, because he has, it says, rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you rain, and he will. So because he, what he has done, what he will do, who he is, what his word says, the answer is the same. Whatever happens, whatever we deal with, help me out. What are we to do? Rejoice, magnify the Lord continually. We just do what his word says. We look at what he has done, what he has promised he will do, what he said in his word that covers our situation, and we just thank him and stay there. And that keeps us in a place of faith. You cannot do that and be grumbling. You can't do that and be negative. If you're truly doing it from your heart, it'll take us up to where we're looking to God. It'll raise our expectancy to where we're expecting, yeah, God is on the throne, and whatever's going, it's not over. God is helping me in this situation, and look at all the times he's done it, and our faith just rises to where we're in a different place. And you know what? The Bible says, be there continually. Where else would you want to be? There's no other place you want. When is the time when you would want to go and sink and just say it's all hopeless? No, you would never want to do that. Even if it's just a little bit, you want to stay there. God is so good. His word works. He's faithful.